So as we've heard, and as it was read for us, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds announcing the birth of the babe, the Christ child. As the angel suddenly stood before the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were terribly frightened, and I think we can understand that. Yet immediately they were met with the grace of God. As the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, the gospel, good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger." And then just as suddenly as he appeared with him, a whole multitude of the heavenly host also appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." What a dazzling display that must have been. No earthly light display can compare to that awesome sight witnessed by the shepherds. After the heavenly scene concluded with the heavenly host ascending to heaven, then the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they made haste. They came in haste, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. They came in haste. Among the translations, this phrase is variously stated. While ours, and such as the King James Version, says they came in haste, the New International Version says they hurried off, and the New American Standard Updated says they came in a hurry. Well, the ESV says they went with haste, and the Basic English says they came quickly. In describing the excitement of the shepherd's action, we have such word as haste, hurry, hurried, quickly. For many of us, such words are very descriptive of our holiday season. The comings and the goings, the decorating, the shopping, the preparing, the baking, the cooking, the gatherings with all of the various church activities. There is much to make haste over. We hurry here and we hurry there. Being hurried, not only do we move about at a fast pace, but our minds are scurrying from one thought to another, hardly to keep able to keep up with us. Haste, hurry, hurrying, quickly. Generally speaking, these words express our lives at this time. Now, while it may be the opinion of some that this is not good, can I tell you, with joy in my heart toward God, that it is my personal opinion that it is wonderful? It is good to be alive and given each breath by the grace of God, given the opportunity to glorify him daily in all that we do. There are indeed times for everything, a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to let lay fallow and a time to produce a harvest. And so is there a time for busyness and a time for the rest that follows. And it is the busyness that necessitates the rest. There are people who want to rest, and that's all they want to do. We call them lazy. But there are people who are so busy that the rest comes, and it's needed, and it's well-deserved. Amen? And we have the example of our Almighty Lord himself, as he created for 6 days and rested on the seventh. So for those of us who run the holiday marathon, we know that in just a few days we can sit and rest, contently enjoying the fruit of our busy labors, that fruit being a gift of God. So I'm not going to denounce the busyness, as I see no problem with being busy, so long as our hearts are right before God in the matter. Busyness in its right place and right measure is good, as God created us to be productive. The Bible encourages productivity, hard work and labor, hospitality, ministry. As time is so quickly passing, we must make sure that we honor God through the time he gives us by making the most of our days, the most of our seasons, as it were, redeeming the time. But church, if our busyness distracts us from the Christ of Christmas, then we do have a serious problem that must be repented of. And to be sure, if the things we give ourselves to are allowed to overshadow Christ, then it is sinful. And it's not busyness that is sinful, but our hearts in the matter. What we give ourselves to and what we think of such things is the expression of our heart, be it right or be it wrong. So certainly, we must live our lives in moderation, of course, except, oh, there's an exception clause here. Certainly, we must live our lives in moderation, of course, except when it comes to Christ, then all zeal is in order. That's why I said, I see no problem with being busy so long as our hearts are right before God in the matter. Busyness in its right place and proper measure is good, as God created us to be productive for his name's sake, unto his glory. So then, in our busyness, we must be sure that we are Christ-centered, that we are Christ-minded, Christ-focused, his glory being the intent of our hurrying about. In all our comings and goings, we who profess Christ are to be mindful of him, coming and going in him, for him, by him, through him, and unto him. We must follow the shepherd's example, for they made haste. They hurried off. They went quickly to see the Christ child. Jesus was the focus of their haste, and so must he be our focus in all our busyness, never losing sight of him. So in applying this thought to this season, if we buy and give a gift, well, beloved, let us do so in faith, glorifying our Jesus. And if we decorate and plan a special meal, then let us do so in faith in our Jesus, that he might be glorified through us. If we contribute to a special Christmas service, then let us do so, not grudgingly, but unto Christ. In our busyness, in our hurrying about, Jesus must be our reason. Let your busyness be with the babe in mind, so that in our busyness we will serve the Lord with joy and thanksgiving rather than complaint and sorrow. What about those who do not appreciate the holiday season? Well, there are some who represent Christians who observe the holiday. Sometimes Christians turn on Christians. That should never be. But some resent Christians who observe the holiday. They say it's a pagan holiday. Well, how can Christ in me act as a pagan? He does not. But they don't want to observe the holiday, and so do they resent the giving of gifts and the expectations that they feel are upon them, and they resent the scurrying about. Well, brothers and sisters, we are under no law to observe, nor is there a law that forbids us to observe. Here is our law. We owe each other a debt of love, for Christ loved us. So in all things, we love. Amen? So the one who says, I'll not buy a gift to give, and I'll not busy myself with decorations, and I will not participate in special functions, then let them do so not in anger or frustration or bitterness, but by faith in Christ, that in all things, whether we give or not, whether we decorate or not, whether we eat or not, whether we busy ourselves or not, that in all things Christ is glorified. For indeed, he was born unto us a Savior. Let us all be sure of this, though, that we make haste in coming to Christ and praising him. Whatever you do or don't do, do it all as unto the Lord, and make haste in seeking him in all things, coming to glorify him. God sent his only begotten Son to bring peace among men with whom he is well pleased. And so, church, be at peace. If you scurry about making haste, let it be for the Lord, and be at peace in that. And if you do not participate in such things, then in that, make haste to glorify God in that, being at peace. Why do we do what we do? This is the question before us. It isn't what we do, it's why we do what we do. Is Christ Jesus, the babe laid in the manger, who became the Savior on the cross, is he your desire? Or have you given yourselves to the things and attitudes of the world? In whatever you are busy in, are you quick to come to Jesus in the matter, hurrying to glorify him? In all things, beloved, make haste to glorify Christ Jesus, the one who came to save his people from their sins. In considering the shepherds who made haste to go and worship the Lord, we find a subtle key. They were able to make haste because of proximity. It didn't take them 2 years to get there like the wise men. They were very close. They were near to Bethlehem, just out the city in the fields, there where Jesus was born. Jesus was near them. So as I say, unlike the wise men, they were able to make haste and to come quickly to see Jesus. Sadly, many are very slow to worship Jesus in the things they give themselves to on account of the fact that they are far from him. If you are slow in coming to worship the Christ child, if you are slow to think of him in your busyness, if you are easily distracted and your attention drawn away from him, then perhaps the problem is your proximity, that you are far from him in your thoughts and worship. So that then brings you to complain rather than to worship, to criticize rather than to glorify God, to resent rather than appreciate. And there is something the Lord wants of us, desires of us. He gave his son so that we would love, appreciate, and glorify him in all things. So there is a more excellent way. It is the way of God as manifested through the shepherds. Rather than being far off, make haste in coming to Jesus. Come near to him, for he is near you, having come to earth for your salvation, for your joy, for your peace. His word is near you. Will you make haste in coming to him? Will he be your joy, your peace, the Savior, your Lord, today? Today is the day of salvation. So in whatever you do this season, and in all the seasons of your life, make haste in coming to Jesus, and his peace will be your peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. Come, draw near, make haste, and in all things worship Jesus, born a baby, died a Savior. He is the Holy One of God. Amen.